about fear and how we can and should avoid an overabundance of fear in this crisis. Certainly, it's natural to be a little fearful when most, if not all, of our basic institutions and commitments and aspects of our day-to-day lives are interrupted. But the scriptures are very clear that we need not be panicked. The first scripture verse I ever memorized was Philippians 4:6. We're going to go there in a minute. There's two reasons. The first is that when I first heard these words, I couldn't accept that they could be true. I desperately wanted them to be true, but it didn't seem possible. And second, because once I learned that they were true, they changed my whole perspective on life and my responses to, well, everything. Listen to these words a moment. Turn there if you have a Bible handy. Think about what this means, and I think this is an excellent time right now to mark this place in your Bible so that you can return to this when you feel yourself getting anxious. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I know if you haven't experienced this fact, it seems impossible. How do I be not anxious in the face of all that's going on in the world right now? And the answer is, first you have to step out in faith. You have to give it a try. You have to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to take away your fear. You have to boldly tell Him what your request is. And then, here's the hard part, you have to trust. You have to believe that God can and will take away your fear, your anxiety. He will maintain you at a healthy level of caution without being gripped by fear. Our relationship with God, our personal relationship with Him through His Son, it's a cause and effect thing. God causes things or allows things to happen. We often can't tell which it is. And it affects us. And we have an effect on how it plays out in our lives. When God brought the rain in Noah's day, He caused it, and it affected everyone on earth. And they had the choice of responding to Him appropriately or denying Him. Only 8 people responded appropriately, Noah and his family. And the rest of the world was caused to suffer the consequences. There was a lot more room on that ark. There was a lot more room for more people, but they made their decision about how to respond to the crisis. And God allowed the flood to overwhelm them. So is this virus another worldwide judgment like the flood? I don't know. And anyone who tells you that they know for sure is probably misleading you in other ways as well. We don't know the mind of God. Certainly not in all things. But we do know the mind of God as to what He wants from us. You ever been or known somebody in a crisis who called out to God, "What do you want from me?" Noah and the flood story answered that question rather clearly. What God wants from us is obedience and worship. When the ark comes along, He's telling us, "Get on the ark." But we don't like that too much. We have our own lives and our own plan for our lives. We have things we want to accomplish and time frames that we've established for doing them. Getting on the ark means setting aside our own schedules and to-do lists and instead going to the Lord first and then accepting whatever role the Lord has laid out for us. Being willing to be in His will before we worry about our will. Here we're freed up from jobs and most of the other things that normally consume our lives. We're confronted with time that we never have available in our busy lives. And how do we spend that time? That's the most important question we can answer. How do we spend our time? Do we watch countless accounts and recounts of how the virus is spreading? Are we then dragged down by the media's insatiable urge to turn everything into a negative? Do we spend lots of time in fruitless worry, endless discussions of how this thing will play out? Or do we go to the Lord in prayer? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Do we allow that peace of God that surpasses all understanding to permeate our hearts and our minds? Do we set aside what the world is telling us to worry about and replace it with what God is telling us? God is telling us that there is a shelter from the storm available to us in His care, in His arms, in His presence. That it's possible to face the crisis without becoming consumed with fear. So what do? Do we take some of that free time and open a Bible? Right now would be a good time to find your Bible and put a bookmark in Philippians 4 so that you can look at it every time you start feeling fear about what's coming. My prayer for you is that when you read those words, that this peace comes on you immediately. Peace that surpasses all understanding, that you feel the arms of God surrounding you and protecting you, that you're able to experience a level of peace that you've never known before. Okay, well, how do we do that? And I'm glad you asked. There's a great story in the Bible about Jesus walking on water, Matthew 14, if you want to look it up. And Peter sees Jesus walking on the water, and he says to him, "Lord, tell me to come to you on the water. I want to do that too." That's a paraphrase. So Peter sees this miraculous event, and he wants to do it too. So Jesus does. He says, "Come." And at first, Peter is able to do it. He's walking on water. He's looking right at Jesus for strength, and he's doing it, but then he senses the turbulent seas around him, and he starts to worry, and he looks away from Jesus, and he sinks like a stone. Peter was fine as long as he focused on the Lord rather than the storm. Let me say that again. Peter was fine as long as he focused on the Lord rather than the storm. When he took his eyes off of Jesus, he was no longer able to disregard the storm going on around him. So have we taken our eyes off of Jesus in this current age? I think the answer is pretty obvious. So it's up to us, really. The Lord has made it pretty clear. Whether he caused this virus to break out right now or whether he just allowed it, it really doesn't matter. The point is the same. And you know, it's funny. If our boss tells us to do something, we understand that our relationship with them requires us to respond affirmatively, to be obedient, to follow orders, even if sometimes the orders don't make sense to us. We're expected to respond to the orders and directions of our parents, our elders, our bosses, our military leaders, our politicians, our police. We understand that if we don't respond appropriately, there can be consequences. And we won't determine the consequences. The governing authority will determine the length and severity of the consequences. How could we possibly believe that we can just disregard the Creator of all things without consequences? How can we refuse to accept His gift of grace and mercy without consequences? It's a simple answer. We can't. We are responsible for the decisions of how we will spend our time and where we'll focus our energies. And yet, God reaches out to us in His abundant grace and says, "Be not anxious, I am with you." Next week, I'm going to talk about God's amazing promise to our country. But this week, God is making a promise directly to you. He's making a promise to provide you peace that surpasses all understanding, even in the storm. There's a beautiful passage in John 4:6. Where Jesus responds to Thomas, who asks him how they could know the way to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." I looked it up in the Greek to see if there was any variation, and no, it said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." I want to tell you this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, these words might not mean anything. In order to have that peace that surpasses all understanding, you have to have a relationship with the Savior. And if you're hearing this and you would like to respond, I want you to join me in this prayer. And we can all lift this prayer and say, "Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I needed salvation, and you provided it on the cross. You paid for my sins. I accept you as Savior and Lord and ask you to bring your Spirit into my life. Bring your healing into my life. Bring that peace that surpasses all understanding into my life. And if you prayed that prayer and meant it, then the Holy Spirit is in your life right now. Find the Bible. Find the Bible and seek out His Word. Stay healthy. Find peace. Know that God loves you. Pass this message on to someone who needs to hear it. And God bless you today and in the coming days. Have a good week, and we'll see you next Sunday.